This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, plenty to get to. Ryder Cup, college football, NFL, as we say hi on a Friday here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. But let me just say this, and that's Michael Lombardi, of course, and I've got the logo up for your new website. We'll get to that. Here's the thing. Bob Seger. Now, I understand it's provincial. I'm from Michigan, right outside of Detroit, but ask.
No, no need to apologize.
Hey, hold on.
No,
why don't you ask your boy Bruce Springsteen what he thinks of Bob Seger? Ask Bob Dylan what he thinks of. Seger is everybody's favorite artist. You know what I mean? You were just listening to Roll
no,
Me Away.
I mean, look, Glenn Frey was in love with Seger. I just had Roll Me Away. I was listening to it.
It just made me feel so good. So anyway, Seger, he was on a road trip, and he was 12 hours out of Mackinac City, stopped at a bar to have a brew. He met a chick. They had a few drinks, and he told her what he decided he was going to do. She hopped in the whip, right? And then Roll Me Away, Roll Me Away. We rolled across the high plains, deep into the mountains. But then somewhere along the way, she got lonely. She was homesick. He said, all right, deuces, threw her out. He kept on driving across the country. She went back home. Point is, he had that beer in. Internet sleuths have figured it out. 12 hours out of Mackinac City. Now, remember, he went north over Mackinac City, up through the Upper Peninsula, across. So you have to understand Wisconsin, then into Minnesota. And then 12 hours would be Grand Forks, North Dakota. Internet sleuths have figured out that it's North Dakota where he stopped in a bar to have a brew and he met Shorty.
Yeah, I think it was definitely North Dakota somewhere up there. Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah.
Right? What a great, great, great. I mean, that's the beauty of being able to capture someone's imagination when you can write something like that and people are asking, where is 12 miles?
That's
and I'm sure
point.
When Seger wrote that line, he had no idea what he was thinking about. He just wrote 12 hours out of Mackinac City, you know, stopped at a bar to have, because it all rhymed together, right? But wow, it's the power of words.
Well, that's exactly, not to make it about me, but when we were coming back from, when you were left us in July, well, anyway, I took a little break.
Yeah.
And when I went up through Michigan, up through the Upper Peninsula with Jeezy, because I wanted to go to the Badlands and go to Mount Rushmore. So we came across. So I did the trip that Seger was talking about.
So you were in Grand Forks. You went that way.
I went that way. And then I don't know if you've ever driven through the Badlands. It's such a cool part of the country with the heritage and everything. And then into South Dakota, where obviously I couldn't take the dog in to see Mount Rushmore, but we got a good picture. And we stopped in a bar to have a brew. Now,
phone's getting lit up on Bill Berman and Thomas Gable, just loving this damn Ryder
well,
Cup. I mean, they're both going crazy.
So Ryder Cup, a good start. Now, hate to be unpatriotic, but there was too much, if you want to use the word value, to start this tournament. I saw some people getting plus 260 on the Europeans. Europeans have won 9 of the last 12. We were supposed to have it last year, didn't have it. It's there at a Lynx course in Wisconsin, Whistling Straits. But the U.S., you shouldn't be surprised with the foursomes, have started off really, really well today, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope so. I mean, I know I don't want to bet against the Americans, although, you know, I mean, Thomas and our man Bill Berman Billy B. They're working on it. I mean, I don't think they're betting against the Americans. They're just loving with the bets, and I think this is the beauty of betting by your phone and their app. And I mean, this event, which was always fun to watch, but now I think it's even more fun with the betting aspect.
Yep, they won. U.S. won 3 of the 4 matches in the early session, so they lead 3-1 after the first session, with 4 ball, which is best ball to take place in the afternoon. So it's something I get into. Trust me, that may be on the big TV this weekend with the football on the iPads all over the place because I can't get enough. And if you think about it, so Rahm's number one ranked player in the world. Then 2 through 10, we've got them. I mean, just on paper, I was listening to Hank Haney, who was, you know, Tiger's swing coach. And he was like, on paper, this has never been this imbalanced. However, we say that every year with the Europeans, and it just doesn't
paper
play out.
Paper doesn't
that
matter
way.
In this.
You know what
paper
I heard a quote? I heard a quote. It's in the American's head. The Ryder Cup is in the European's heart. It's on the American's head. It's in their heart. And that's the difference.
Yeah, I agree. Now let's transition over to college football. What is, like, I thought the Notre Dame Wisconsin game was at 7:30. It's at 12 o'clock. Is that correct? Am I right with that?
Yeah, it is. It is an early game. Remember, this is being
played. There's really no good night game. We don't have a good.
No. Our night game is Arkansas and
Texas A&M,
which is a disaster. No, this is a terrible. Listen, it's a betting week, and we'll be here tomorrow to bet them. But it's as far as just name value, it's nothing. And remember, Notre Dame, Wisconsin was supposed to be Lambeau last year.
Yeah, I know.
And I did some checking on that.
Right, but it's still a Wisconsin home game.
That's right.
It's still a Wisconsin home game, but the secondary tickets on the market will all be Notre Dame tickets. There's no doubt. How about this? If I were to say to you, who has the best quarterback? If Jack Coons was playing quarterback for Wisconsin now, would they have beaten Penn State, Patrick?
Yes, they would have. The way Cone's playing, they would have beaten Penn State. I agree.
The answer to your question is
so
correct.
So they got Mertz,
right.
and they got – Wisconsin's got the worst Wisconsin quarterback is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I think
the
so.
The worst of the two.
I mean, look, we saw this with Georgia. Georgia let Justin Fields go, and there went their national championship.
You nailed it. Now, the number, and I heard you talking to a dog about this, it is big. I mean, it opened 5.5, and it's getting bet. Most have it 6.5 now with Wisconsin laying it, which is a little surprising here. Wisconsin 245 on the money line. Wisconsin can't move the football. They cannot move the football.
No, they have no offense. Now, they've only played two games. But what am I supposed to call dog? I don't like to – I call him Christopher. If somebody was saying they get a
– No, that's very Italian of you. You know, you're very – it's very Italian. Hey, Christopher. It makes me think of Moltisanti. I like it. Hey, I wanted to ask you about a game this evening, if I can, and that is Wake.
Please feel free. You want to talk about the Liberty? I think this is the year. It's been 2 years ago since the hospital bed.
Is it 2 years?
Remember when Hugh Freeze was in the hospital bed?
I asked you if time flies. Time flies. It's 72nd birthday of the boss. 20 years since Tom took over, or 2 years since Hugh Freeze was laying in the hospital bed coaching the game. That's probably the most memorable one.
But he had his hands up like this. He's up there like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Good coach though. Good coach. Remember, he was a high school coach there with Orr in Mississippi, and then the Boosters got him the job at Mississippi. Oddly enough, Freeze recruited awesomely. I mean, AJ, you know,
he
recruited great. Didn't win like you would have expected him to because he's a hell of a coach and he's won at Liberty. But the one I wanted to start with would be Wake at Virginia. I think this is interesting. Wake's first game
Virginia
in conference.
Played bad last week.
They did, but they started off so well against North Carolina where they had the lead and then they gave up almost 700 yards. On defense, Mendenhall's crew against Howell and that North Carolina offense, which is that struggles. But I mean, that was a struggle. But they were up early in that game. But here comes a bounce back spot for Virginia and Wake's undefeated 3-0 here coming into this matchup with Virginia laying 3.5.
I love Wake. I think Wake has, they do a great job with everything they, they've done a good job of recruiting. I mean, they lost their best running back. They lost
Michigan
one of their
State.
Best running backs. Michigan State took him. I mean, Clawson does a great job. I mean, he does a great job. And I think that, he's got a good off, and he knows where he is. He understands it. I got to think this is going to be a tough spot for him at Virginia. I mean, because Virginia's a little bit, they got to be embarrassed after what the hell's happened, right? I mean, they just got their doors blown off, And look, anybody who thought Wake Forest was going to lose to Florida State wasn't watching tape. I mean, they really weren't watching tape. I mean, Florida State, the quarterback has, as much as we like Mackenzie Milton, he hasn't been able to play very well. They beat Old Dominion by 32. They beat Norfolk by whatever they beat them by. And then they play Florida. They were good. This would be a good test for Wake Forest. It really will be.
Yeah, because the Cavaliers, they have a 28-24 lead on North Carolina and then just got they got boat raced in the second half. But what they do have is Anderson, the quarterback. And I really do believe if you take a look at this game, Anderson and that Virginia offense, which is just absolutely lethal against so early in the season, but the 116th ranked pass defense of Wake Forest. I think Virginia's going to light it up, and you see why, because Wake can light it up as well. I mean, that's a big ass total at 69.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that when you look at this game, I mean, for me, I think Virginia, which has typically set its team with Mendenhall's ability to coach defense, you know, and it really wasn't. I bet it's been a rough week for Nick Howe and Kelly Pamanga there at Virginia, because this is typically not how they usually play and what they typically do.
Yeah. They outscored William and Mary in Illinois 85-14. Then the Cavaliers were leading North Carolina 28-24 and lost and gave up almost seven. I mean, that's a letdown for Virginia. This is a big time bounce back spot for against a Wake team that's 3-0, and this is their first game in conference. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes here. ACC tonight on a Thursday. The other ones, in case you mentioned Liberty at Cuse, Liberty and your boy Hugh up to 6.5 on the road at Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that, you know, Syracuse can run the ball a little bit, right?
Yes.
I mean, Syracuse looked like they can. And how good is Liberty? I don't know if they're – are they good enough this year? I don't know. You know, it's kind of hard to really get a feel for their team and see where they are and kind of, you know, that would be based on their play. You know, when you look over their schedule and who they play, Old Dominion, Troy, and Campbell, you know, I mean, how do you judge that? How do you judge that? They beat Old Dominion 45-17. You know, we're leaving out the biggest game of the night.
I think UNLV's actually getting respect tonight, only catching 30.5 at Fresno.
Unbelievable.
State.
It went moved down. It was at 31. There's people betting UNLV.
They should
who
be.
I like to know. I like to get names.
They should be in your bottom 10. When we go to the basement tomorrow, they should be.
They are. Near, they are tomorrow.
Near,
they're there.
Yeah, they should be near the very bottom. All right. And by the way, Liberty right now, that total 54. When we come back, we'll continue. I want to ask you about Odell Beckham Jr., his impact in Cleveland this Sunday. It's a Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Betting Splits, new feature gives you insights on where the money and the bets are moving for every game. You're going to be able to see the public and where they're betting. Of course, based on the number of tickets, where the money doesn't match the public opinion, it's all there, data available. Check it out. Start your next sports bet at VSiN.com. Get over there, sign up for a free trial, VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, as we welcome you back, I want to show everybody the insignia, the new website, oddsonlombardi.com. Let's go ahead and throw that up there. That's pretty damn cool.
Nice, huh? My man Alec did that from the Daily Coach. Alec, yeah, Daily Coach. He runs the Daily Coach for us and does all the handles. And he's great at all this stuff. And so we got the elephant. We look a little bit like Alabama, red and white. Who can go wrong with red and white, right?
I think that turned out very well. And oddsonlombardi.com, if you go there right now, you can sign up. And so what's going to happen is Michael, everything he writes, he's constantly writing and giving out picks. If you sign up, it'll come to your inbox. And then you can also check out, just bookmark oddsonlombardi.com. Did you get clearance from Amal Shaw to call it Odds On? Because, you know, he and Mike Palm have a show called
Odds On. I did not. I probably need to kind of check with Amal on that. You know, I mean, I figured he was too busy on some other things. But, you know, I'm sorry if I
okay.
didn't.
Just want to make sure.
It was the only thing I could come up with. I would have liked it, you know, just it made sense. Odds On.
I love it. The poker chip with the elephant and the weekly picks and insights. So everything you post, like when you, after
yeah,
the
I mean,
show
it just
on
gets,
Sunday.
It's a way to write a longer form. It's a way to write a longer form for me to write a longer form view of the game, of the league from a GM perspective, not from a betting perspective. And then the place to secure, to put my picks. So I don't like last Sunday, you know, I put the three picks up and I at Twitter, I'm not good on Twitter, and I wanted to do it timing and I had the wrong time. And thank God James Stephen Bond came through for me and helped me fix it on my Twitter account. So, you know, this just saves me from having to mess it all up, you know.
Yeah.
I can only mess up some.
Here's what
you get it.
No, totally. Here's what I think. Maybe you get with Alec. Can we somehow sync like a feed when you're tweeting? I think the feed should automatically sync up with also your website. I think that's possible. So you see what I'm
okay,
saying?
Okay, I'll mention that.
So,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank
I think
you for
there's,
looking for that.
I think
yeah,
there's something
you.
Where you can just sync up your social with the website and then specifically post some of the long form stuff on the web. I think it's a great idea.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Patrick.
Of course. Now, This is something that just jumped out at me, that Matt Santos, while we give Mr. Bond credit, we got to credit Mr. Matt Santos, of course. We have been juggling through producers. We do now know that Matt is here every week, which is great.
He better be.
And then Bond,
Matt's not going anywhere.
Except next week when he's going to hang out with his fam, which is good. And then Bond is here on the weekends. The good thing about Bond is his first day was Saturday, the producer, and when we started the show, I swear to you, I think he passed out, and that's why I stumbled to start the show. And then by Sunday, he was good to go, so I think we've got it covered. But this jumped out at me from Matt. Raiders start 6-0. They're 6-1. They've got, obviously, win over the Ravens, a win at the Steelers, so two very impressive wins for your boys, the Raiders. Let's talk about their game this week. They're hosting the Dolphins, okay? And I think the number right now, and it's going to be Brissett, it's sitting at, gosh, this number, is, you see it in front of you? It's all over the place.
Is it four?
It's 3.5 at a couple. Circa just went, Circa's 4, Westgate's 3.5. Give me MGM on this one, Matt, if you can. And then I'll also give you DraftKings. The number's all over the place. It opened 4.5. I even see an offshore book at 5, but then most of the books in town are 3.5. Are you the point is, Brissett is getting bet more than Tua would have gotten.
Of course he is. Of course he is. We knew this. We knew this. We knew this all along. We knew this. I mean, there's no denying this. I mean, it's not hard to see when he comes in the game that he actually can move the offense. And, you know, and if I promise you, Gus Bradley's sitting over there in Henderson at the Raider facility, and he would rather have Tua, you know, because he's an easier player to defend. He's not as – the arm strength isn't as good. This number is all over, but it looks like it's now, other than Circa on my board, Patrick, I see nothing but 3.5s.
And we have – what'd you say, Matt? MGM's 4, DraftKings also 4? We'll check out DraftKings as well. 3.5 in town, as Michael just mentioned, which, look, Vinny said it was sitting 4 yesterday. So the point is, Brissett's getting bet. That's, I mean, there's,
yeah, you know. I mean, I think that's the message that I was trying to project to everybody, that, look, you can't have the ability to say Tua's the star when the numbers, when the books are saying the other thing. It's a kind of a self-evaluation that we all need, and it's honest, and it gives you a chance.
It's the 3.5 at DraftKings. Wow. So he really is. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because as you just mentioned, planning for Tua, and maybe Flores got a little cute, but you notice he's got packages for Brissett. Like, they can't continuously use Tua in every set.
Well, he was putting Brissett in there when they got into the red zone and when they needed quarterback sneaks.
That's right.
He wanted a bigger body in there. He needed a bigger body. Look, I don't want to ding Tua any more than I've already. I'm just trying to be objective about this. We'll see. Now, Will Fuller's back too for Miami this week. We'll see what he adds to their offense. Along with all their other players. I mean, I think that's going to be a good way to test. I mean, he's back. I mean, this will be a challenge. I think this could be a challenge for the Vegas defense. Can they cover? But the problem in Miami has been Jackson, the offensive line, Austin Jackson, Jesse Davis, this whole line, it hasn't been very good. And if they're healthy enough on defense, you know, last week they weren't 100% healthy. And I think that they can be, if they're healthy, it'll be, you know, the Raiders won't move. The Raiders, this is a good defensive front. I mean, they're not a great pass rushing unit. They're a physical unit. They can move you around. And I think it's going to be a harder game for the Raiders, because especially since the quarterback isn't healthy, you know. So I'm just looking at their injury report now. Everybody seems like they're full go, other than Jesse Davis and Grant, the receiver. Everybody else is full go, other than Tua.
It's just,
so they'll have a complete complement of defense.
It's a fascinating spot for both teams, because, you know, the Raiders in the spot with Gruden, their own 4 ATS, their last 4 as a favorite. This is now, the pressure's on, right? They weren't a favorite, obviously, against the Ravens. They weren't a favorite on the road against the Steelers and played well. This is when this team has
it's
struggled.
It's funny, though. They go back to Pittsburgh. They're a 6-point dog, 5.5-point dog, and they come home, and in what, New England was a 3-point favorite at home against Miami, and now, you know, now that line's coming back to where it was. It was 4, but, you know, the one thing about people see the weaknesses still within the Raider defense. I mean, it isn't, you know, I think Big Ben looked like he was running in cement shoes last week. So I don't think that's the line isn't reflective of people are running, getting overexcited about the Raiders. But I do think there is some correlation to the Raiders and the Patriots. And then when you factor in Brissett, it really makes it more difficult.
Do you expect the offense to look differently with the Dolphins? I'm thinking about the total because the over is 5-0 in the last five at home for the Raiders.
Oh, I definitely think it's going to be they're going to throw it down the field. I mean, look, they got Will Fuller. Now, we know Will Fuller, when he played in Houston, was really hard to cover, right? We know this. We understand that. He's a good player. He's a really good player. And we know that he'll be a challenge for anybody to cover. So they get him back. They got Parker, who's a good receiver. Gillespie's a good receiver, tight end. I mean, they've got some talented players. I mean, they have some talented players on this roster. And so, you know, and they're going to get them to go. I mean, I think they'll get them to get – they'll get a lot out of them. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think Brissett can deliver the ball to them. I think he'll be able to. Now, they can run the football, but I do think they'll be able to make some plays in the passing game.
The trends point to an over, but the bettors, I'll give it to you in a second, are looking under. The over after a loss.
Well, the bettors are looking under because most of the bettors think that, that Tua is great. And they think because the backup quarterback's playing that it's not going to be very good. I mean, that's just typical, you know, and that was our point yesterday here on the show that once that line, what I was asking Vinny is, this is an indictment of the quarterback. The market went the other direction when you benched the guy. We're seeing the same thing in Chicago. The market's going the other way after they benched Dalton. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, we'll
Brissett's a veteran player.
I agree. And plenty of starts under his belt. We'll touch on that one. The over 7-3 in the last 10 following a straight-up loss for the Dolphins. 5-0 to the over for the Raiders last five at home. I bring that up because this opened 45.5, and Michael's right. It's now down to 44. Kind of a low total for a spot like where the trends are pointing over here.
Yeah, I mean, I think this will be more of an offensive game. Now, look, the Dolphins have got a, the Dolphins didn't play as bad as that score was, and even Buffalo, even Josh Allen admitted he hasn't played well in the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, Buffalo really, I mean, they won the game. Miami was horrible. A lot of that was Buffalo made them look bad because of their blitz package, but they haven't played their best offensively yet. Buffalo.
You're right about Cincinnati. That number is pretty much painted 3 across the board in Pittsburgh. Open 3.5 with Pittsburgh laying it. So that's interesting. We'll touch on that coming up in a bit. Next, Josh Applebaum joins us, a little college, a little pro, here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Again, you can subscribe for $22, and look, just do it for this season. And by the time the season's done, trust me, add it up. You'll make more money because we're going to help you out. Become a better handicapper. VSiN's free trial today, VSiN.com/subscribe. You're going to get 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access. And it's all for $22. So everything we offer for $22 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, VSiN.com/podcast is where you can find Josh Applebaum's podcast, of course, Market Insights, which drops every day at noon East, Monday through Friday. He joins Michael Lombardi and myself right now, and we say, hi, Josh. How are you doing?
Happy Friday here, guys. And unfortunately, the hazmat didn't work with the Texans last night. I thought 7-6, we had a shot there, obviously, in the McCaffrey injury as well. I did see some favorites. You've seen some favorites the last two games come through here. So maybe some regression from the dogs that we've seen that were red hot to start here. But Michael, how about with Marshall? Thank God. Anytime you have a bad beat, something in the back end is going to help you. How about that running back sliding down at the four yard line, not scoring to save the Marshall +7. You got to love betting. Twitter just blew up when that happened. Saved a lot of bettors like me +7, Michael, but definitely hurt like Nick Chubb with the Browns a couple years ago.
Yeah, Appalachian State pulls off the win and obviously covers. So, yeah, I know. I mean, look, I thought that was going to be – I was all over Marshall with you on that one. I thought Marshall would play him well. Boone, North Carolina, tough place to play. Smart kid. You know, Nick Chubb got me last year. You get it, what comes around goes around, right?
Josh, we were talking Wake at Virginia. We'll go ACC. That's tonight. It's a pretty good game, actually. Virginia open 4. Looks like Wake's getting bet a little bit here. I got a couple of books 3, mostly 3.5s with Virginia laying it.
Yeah, I'd be looking at Wake Forest here. I'm excited to get Michael's take on this game. So, again, Wake, my only concern is they're 3-0, but here's the thing. They're 1-2 ATS. So even though they've been winning these games, they haven't been covering as often. So maybe that creates a situation where the public isn't super heavy on Wake. Like, I'm looking at splits across different major books, guys, where it's 50-50 right down the middle. And you look at Virginia, they're 2-1, 2-1 ATS, but they're coming off that bad loss against UNC. They lost 59-39. Their defense got shredded there. They're only a 7.5-point dog, end up losing by 20. So public doesn't know what to do. They're like, yeah, Virginia's a good team, but they just got rolled by UNC, yet they are at home. It's a short number. Wake's undefeated. What do I do? So tickets right down the middle, guys, but you're right, Patrick. A lot of these books open -4 Virginia. It's down to 3.5, and I think this thing may even get down to 3. That's really the direction that it's trending. So it's always notable to me when tickets are split. Theoretically, in a vacuum, line shouldn't move at all, yet this thing is going to Wake. And Michael, one system that I love, just a grinder spot, these short road dogs +4 or less in college. It generates a huge sample size. It's about 54% ATS, which again, 52.38%. You got to win to overcome the juice and make some money. So slightly profitable here. Again, line move to Wake. What do you think, Michael? Would you be grabbing the points here? And maybe it goes to 3. Should we grab the hook now? I'm thinking maybe we should.
I mean, Wake's a hard team to handicap, right? So their opponent records are 1-7, you know, and when you break them down offensively, they're 26th rank in the nation offensively in scoring offense. Defensively is where they shine. They're 14th in the country on defense. But those numbers come against Florida State, Norfolk State, Old Dominion. That's the real issue. And I think that's what makes this game so hard to handicap. I love Clawson and I love Mendenhall. I think both coaches are really good. You know, and I think both coaches get a lot out of their players. I mean, the Illinois victory, you know, I thought that would happen. You know, they beat Bill and Mary in the opener and then they come back and kill Illinois 42-14. So, and their offense typically, you know, their opponent's strength of schedule was 3-5. And their offense is ranked 18th in the country, Virginia Cavaliers. This will be a challenge for Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Now, Wake Forest will challenge them because, as we've seen last week with North Carolina, their defense, Virginia's defense, isn't what we're used to. They're 72nd overall in scoring defense in college football.
I think you nailed it. This is Wake's stout defense against Virginia's prolific offense, and Armstrong is awesome, the quarterback for Virginia. And you just said it, Michael, Illinois' offense is one of the worst in the country. I mean, if you watch Illinois, they're so bad. So to me, this is, can they kind of keep Armstrong and Virginia in third and long situations because it's a prolific offense? And let's see if Wake can hang. They've been opportunistic against a little bit of a weak schedule. You mentioned Bill and Mary in the mix as well against Wake. Josh, the next one on your list here as far as tonight, you got Liberty. We were just talking about this game. So the Fighting Freezes head to Syracuse to take on Syracuse. And this is a number right now, which I have 6.5, right? Yeah, looks like everybody's 6.5 with Liberty laying it.
Yeah, so definitely, Patrick, this to me is almost a principal play. Again, I think the public is, number one, they're all over Liberty here. How can you blame them? Liberty's 3-0 ATS. They're outscoring their opponents, I think like 38-12. So Hugh Freeze getting it done again. He had a great comment. They asked him about the spread, and he said, that's rat poison. So I don't know how you decipher that. That's a Lane Kiffin line there. Maybe he's saying, hey, you know, it was a closer game than it should be with 6.5. So it's kind of a weird angle there that he mentioned the spread and was conscious of it. But guys, Liberty, they opened like -6, 6.5. They've been moving up here to 7. They're definitely the public play here. You know, I think you can find a 6.5 if you like Liberty. But my concern is they're getting like 3 out of 4 bets. And Cuse, I don't think we're giving too much respect for Cuse. They're 2-1 ATS. They crush Albany and they beat Ohio as a 2-point dog, 29-9 in the opener. But again, Liberty, if it's death taxes and Liberty covering all these games. So I get the public love for Liberty. Michael, I'll ask you who you like in this one. But to me, my play is the over, guys. It opened like 53. It's been bet up to around 54. You're in a dome, slick track, where offense definitely has an advantage over the defense. And also both these teams can put up some points. Liberty is averaging 38. Syracuse is averaging 32. And actually last year, there were no fans in the stands because of the COVID year, but Liberty went into Cuse, guys. Remember, we did a Lombardi line. It was a Saturday. They won 38-21 that game. So Michael, how do you cap this game? Would you lay with Hugh Freeze? And do you think I can get my over here with some points scored?
Well, you know, I mean, look, one thing, I mean, they played Rutgers 17-7. That was a good game, right? Now, we don't know what else. They went into Ohio. They were a dog at Ohio, Syracuse. Remember that line flip? There was a ton of that S word going in on Ohio, and all of a sudden, you know, that just dissipated itself through. You know, I think, and Liberty's schedule is so hard to tell. I mean, both of these teams, but I do think that Syracuse, their offense is fairly good. I mean, you know, they can run the football effectively. You know, they're the third best rushing offense in the conference. They average over 212 yards a game on the ground. So, I mean, Liberty's going to have to buckle up and handle it.
Yep. And Willis is a dual threat. He's a stud. Look, they've, as you mentioned, it's been poor competition for Liberty. But they kind of passed.
That's the hard part about college football. When you get these games where how do you judge? And I think that it's remarkable that the line is so good, you know, where we can see, you know, one thing we can recognize is bad. It's hard to recognize in between.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, I think as far as Syracuse, their only Power 5 school they played was that Rutgers game. So you can't really judge that. And they lost 17-7. And again, Willis is, he's going to be a pro. He's a dual threat kid. He's going to be the best player on the field. So interesting. Josh goes over in that one. Well, a game that Michael's been focusing on that I see you have in your notes as well. It's the Eagles and the Cowboys, and what's going on with the movement there.
Yeah, you know, we joke about Michael, you know, when you're at the Borgata hanging out and everyone wants your autograph, they say, we don't need the points here with the Eagles. And that's the running theme. We got to make T-shirts with that with the Eagles fans. But I think I grabbed the points, but I like the Eagles in this one, guys. This is kind of a classic buy low, sell high. You know, both these teams are 1-1, but the Cowboys are 2-0. ATS. So this week to me is a lot about buying low on these 0-2 ATS teams, kind of selling high on these 2-0 ATS teams. And Dallas coming off that big win on the road where we were grabbing the points there against the Chargers. They win 20-17, whereas the Eagles as a 3-point dog against San Fran, they don't cover. They lose 17-11. What I like about this one, guys, really public play to Dallas. It's a Monday night game. It's going to be extremely heavily bet. And a lot of these lines open -3.5 or even -4. For the Cowboys here. I think a lot of wise guys, any books that had a Eagles +4 immediately got hit. What I like is a lot of these 3.5s, if you look at the juice, are juiced up toward the Eagles +3.5 at -115. Like this may get down to 3 here, Michael. So if you look at these divisional dogs, you know, they've been great here historically, about 56% ATS the last decade. Also an intriguing stat, fading teams that play their first home game in week 3. So it's almost like you're on that road weary road trip. You come back home, a lot of expectations. People want a lot of tickets, Michael. Fading those teams is actually 70%, 30-13 ATS the last decade. So what do you think, Michael? Divisional dog angle with Philly. Would you grab the points here? Would you jump on the 3.5 before maybe it gets to 3?
You know, I really like Philly. I think Philly should be the favorite in the game. Actually, I think it should be a pick 'em game based on my numbers. I mean, and when you look at Dallas over the first two games, yeah, they went against really good quarterbacks. But, you know, that Charger game, they were fortunate to win that game. I mean, they should be 0-2, Dallas. They should be. It is just a fact. I mean, they played well in the red zone. The receiver trips, that's an interception. They get two penalties called. They lose two touchdowns in the red zone. It's really more of the Chargers' incompetence than it was the Dallas defense. So I think this is the wrong team favorite. I thought that since it came out. My numbers proved it. I would say Philly, I'll take the point. If you're going to give me 3.5, I love it. You know, I think anything below 3, you're better off going to the money line.
And you got 4 yesterday. On Philly.
Yeah, got 4. I mean, I was loving it yesterday when I got 4.
Yep, absolutely. Josh,
you know, now if I can get a 5, I'll take a 5. If I get a 7, I'll take a 7. Patrick.
I'll take a 10, yeah.
Well, you won't take 2 touchdowns. I dare you. Josh, just 30 seconds. Anything on the way out? Anything else you're looking at tonight?
Yeah, just well, tonight the other one that I was looking at is MTSU. They're at Charlotte here, guys. A lot of betting is on Charlotte. They're kind of a popular play here. Better record, better ATS. But actually, you had Charlotte pretty much open -3. It stayed -3. It's juiced up to MTSU. I'm going MTSU short road dog +3 there.
Good job, Josh. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Lombardi
Josh.
Line. Coming up next.
Can't wait, guys. Good luck.
Is Lamar Jackson okay? He probably doesn't have to be. They're playing the Lions. We'll find out next.
I got the answers to that.
Okay, good.
I know that.
Lombardi's got an answer. We love it.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, become a weekend warrior at BetMGM, the king of the weekend. It's the king of sportsbooks. Free-to-play challenge. So here's what you can do. You can win up to $50,000 for correctly picking the highest-scoring pro football teams during the weekend. All you have to do is log on to your account at BetMGM. For the weekend contest, go to that section and then pick the 6 teams you think will score the most points for the selected games. $1,000 is going to go to the top entry every week, and if you guess all 6 in the right order, The grand prize of $50,000 could be yours. That's pretty good. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbook. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. So you had the answer for me. When you hear Lamar, Michael Lombardi, when you hear Lamar sick, we know the vaccination situation, so you immediately think COVID. The Baltimore Ravens are in Detroit off the big win against Kansas City, and they're laying 7.5 up to 8. I see 8.5 at a book. What's the deal with Lamar Jackson?
You know, Lamar's going to play. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Lamar is, I don't think it was COVID related. I think it was rest. I think he hurt his hip on that flip, but I think everybody that I talk to around the league feel very confident he's going to play in Detroit. Swift, you know, his injury, will he play? I think that's a concern if you're Detroit. Detroit's defense is so slow. It's going to be a hard matchup. And I think before you play this one, whether you're playing them in Survivor, you just got to double check and make sure. Lamar is scheduled to play. It's Friday afternoon on the East Coast time, but I would double check before I turned that in on Survivor or took the points.
Okay, a couple things. That good information. And by the way, you see the number. The Ravens are all the way up to 8.5. So that doesn't make that's not surprising based on Lamar looking like
he is. No, not at all. I mean, look, it's a hard matchup for Detroit. I mean, Detroit's weakness is their team speed on defense. The strength of the Ravens is their speed on offense because of their quarterback. No one else, because of their quarterback, and they're going to have a hard time tackling them.
You know, not, as an aside, and then I want to get to the Giants because we have an injury update. As an aside, when the Ravens went for it on 4th and 1.5 yards, as you said, no brainer there, but okay, good, you went for it. The run he is so special as a runner, picking up that first yard and a half in that situation was really incredible because it was defended well. He's just so he's so interesting with the way he can get it done in short yardage.
It's just, you know, he's got that ability to be really explosively fast, but also laterally quick. And that's what makes Tyreek Hill the best receiver in football. That's what makes these guys so hard to defend, because their quickness added to their true speed. You know, that's the real issue. That becomes the problem. And when you have that kind of quickness, it's hard.
So flashed on my screen here, we'll report it. Evan Engram, the Giants, has been listed as questionable. As you know, Golladay is questionable. Golladay's always going to be questionable. Trust me, Giants fans, I know this. But anyway, Ingram's questionable. And here comes Atlanta. I know you're dubious about the Giants, so let's discuss this game. Open 3, still 3. Total of 48. Falcons, the perception's never going to be lower on the Falcons. And I think the Giants walk away from a loss at Washington with people feeling pretty good about them. This could be a really tough spot for the Giants in a trap game.
You almost think the Giants are 2-0, 1-1 the way they act when they're in the same category as the Falcons. They're both 0-2. Right. And I think they've had more time to think about it. Their quarterback, they're always a spike when their quarterback plays well. The confidence of Giant fans rise when Daniel Jones has a good game. And can he continue to have a good game? Atlanta's defense has looked disorganized, to say the least, to be polite, this season. They haven't played very well. But I will say this, Atlanta's offense started to come around a little bit in the third quarter against Tampa. They've got some weapons. Now, they got a block up front. That's been the big issue for Atlanta, is their inability to block up front. They haven't been very good there. They've struggled, and we've seen it happen all the time. And Matt Ryan is unable to work the ball down the field. He's averages 5.7 yards per attempt. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns so far this season, and they've been a disaster. They have been a true disaster on third down. They're 9 third downs converted. However, one thing where Atlanta has been pretty good defensively this year is on third down. Atlanta's only allowed 10 third downs and 25 attempts on. That's 40%. So they've been fairly good. The difference is Atlanta's offense. And what happens is they play from behind. They start out getting behind in the game, and they catch up, and then they have nothing left for the fourth quarter. The Falcons have been outscored 30-0 in the fourth quarter this year. 30-0 in the fourth. A lot of that was 20-0 last week, but the Eagles outscored them 10-0. So they're going to have to, if you're going to play the Falcons, you've got to be really careful that they can keep the game close to a field goal, because they've yet to score in the fourth quarter.
Interesting stats. The
Christopher Russo loves the Giants. Now, he said when I did the show with him yesterday, he said that he's never right on the Giants when he makes the pick, but it didn't stop him.
I know. I think he could be wrong here. Look, say what you want about Ingram and Galladay, I mentioned, but he was a big-ticket free agent. If they're both missing, that makes the defensive responsibilities a lot easier for the Falcons. As to who
it does. I mean, you know, and the Falcons have given up so far in two games. They've given up 8 touchdown passes. I mean, but look, the Giants, we know this. The quickness of a team will always bother the Giants. This offensive line isn't golden, right? They're struggling too. And Daniel Jones has yet to throw an interception on the season, and they're 0-2. You know, that's the real issue. They're 0-2. He's yet to throw one, and they're 0-2.
So I told you Christian McCaffrey's officially out at Dallas next week. Dallas look ahead number there is 4. Let me give you a couple of other injuries, which I find fascinating because you just mentioned it. Cincinnati's getting bet this weekend in Pittsburgh, right? T. Higgins isn't going to play. Mm-hmm. He's questionable. He's doubtful. He's not going to play. That's a big miss for Cincinnati. This is a fascinating
game.
No doubt. I mean, look, Cincinnati at Roethlisberger, at Pittsburgh. The coaching mismatch, maybe we should start there.
Well, I mean, look, that's the problem I have. I mean, I don't know why anybody wants to take their hard-earned dollars and bet on Zach Taylor and his offense.
I mean, can do.
The Steelers haven't lost to the it's a John Oates play. The Steelers haven't lost to the Bengals at Pittsburgh since 2015. I mean, now look, do I think the Steelers are playing good? No. Do I think Ben's really going to be able to last 15 more games? No. Do I think he's moving like his legs are in cement? Yes. But the one strength of Pittsburgh is their front and their ability to rush the passer and create turnovers. And that's exactly what Mr. Taylor's very good at delivering for the Cincinnati offense. So I'm either taking Pittsburgh or staying away here. I don't see any advantage in taking the Bengals. And if you do, God bless you. If you do, God bless you. Now, I think the Bengals have played good on defense. I mean, last week, it wasn't their defense that cost them. Now, what happened at the end of the game, they couldn't stop Chicago and get the ball back. Their defense couldn't stop the 3 running plays by David Montgomery, and they couldn't get the ball back. But for the most part, you know, they get the pick 6. That was 7. You know, they gave up 13 points to a bad Chicago team. They played pretty well last week defensively.
You know, it's not a great matchup for the Bengals offense either, where they try to establish the run. They, you know, 28 rushes.
They're going to waste Mixon's
3.9
career.
A carry, something like that. Like, Mixon is getting completely wasted here. The scheme doesn't fit him.
And you can't run. I mean, I think the under here, 44.5, you know, I think the under's got to be in play here. Because you think both teams are led by their defense.
Yes.
Both teams' quarterbacks have a hard time staying protected.
Any question about Ben starting and potentially Rudolph? Like, there's no question here, right?
It doesn't sound like it, you know, but I mean, look, Ben is, he's at 6-7 yards per attempt on the season. You know, I mean, it's not there.
I think a lot of it has to do with that playoff game last year where he put up monstrous numbers. Remember, all of those numbers
Where the Browns were defending the clock.
They were
not
standing.
Him.
They were standing 25 yards off the line of scrimmage. I mean, they just.
And this offensive line for the Steelers has to worry you if you're betting that. I mean, I think I could see the logic behind betting Cincy. I completely can. I just can't go to the window and say I'm on Zach Taylor's team this week.
Let me just give you the 3. We'll just do this. I like the comparison from Friday to Sunday. And remember, dog's ping-ponging with Michael and Michael with dog. But Michael has Philly +4. This is yesterday. You took Minnesota, and we can compare this. You took Minnesota.
I'm nervous about that because Dalvin Cook is questionable. He's got to play for me to catch
that
issue. Pick.
That's a major issue. And then you like the Rams.
I do. I like the Rams a lot. I think the Rams will play good. I really
likes
do.
The Rams with Tampa Bay in town. And the number is
I think they'll know how to put some pressure on. I mean, they're going to take a receiver out of the game with Jalen Ramsey. Now, they got to be able to handle the other ones. But I think the speed of the Rams defense, I think Sean McVay will be really good against the Todd Bowles defense. I mean, they beat him last year with Jared Goff in Tampa.
That's right. That's right. They did. And they look good.
We forget that.
Jared Goff.
We forget this.
Jared Goff perpetually disrespected. That is.
Sorry.
No, he. Trust me, he's the Lions quarterback now. It's not going to get much better. Okay, and by the way, the number, Tampa Bay's laying 1.5 at the Rams. Michael, early tomorrow, you going to be there here on the Lombardi Line?
I'll be there. Bells on. We'll have music going. We'll be ready to go. Don't you worry.
Look forward to get some Frampton in the mix. Odds on coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.